Today's episode is sponsored by Morgan Stanley. As technology progresses, how we deliver education across the globe may transform as well. How will more access to education open doors for economic opportunity? Hear more at morganstanley.com/economicengine. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, and Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, members SIPC.
Opening bell in about 20 seconds. Let me just set the stage for you.
Money, money, I want more money.
You cannot have it all.
This whole system is too confusing.
Hi, I'm Ben White, and this is Politico Money. We're doing something a bit different today. On this episode, we're taking your questions about the big economic story this week. Trade, trade wars, tariffs, beer cans, aluminum cans, you name it, we're going to talk about it. All the questions you were too afraid to ask, we're going to answer them. First up, a little bit of background. So President Trump last week on Thursday shocked a lot of people both inside his administration and around the world by announcing some pretty big, bold tariffs. 25% on all imported steel into the United States, 10% on all imported aluminum.
Completed by next week, we'll be imposing tariffs on steel imports and tariffs on aluminum imports. And you're going to see
President Trump promised during the campaign to get tougher on trade. And today he took a major step by announcing new tariffs on
imported. Well, President Trump shocked the business world this week with a vow to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum.
With a live look at the Dow Jones big board, markets just tumbled 500 points a couple of hours ago on the back of a controversial announcement.
Wall Street promptly went nuts. Stocks dropped over 400 points on Thursday, dropped again on Friday, and you had chaos within the White House. You had a wing of advisors who like free trade, like Gary Cohn, the National Economic Council director, trying to stop the president. And then you had his more nationalist advisors like Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, and Peter Navarro, his chief trade advisor, really cheering him on. They've wanted these big tariffs for a long time. And frankly, Trump has wanted them too. He thinks saving steel and saving aluminum is hugely important, that he needs to do it. It was part of what he campaigned on. And he thinks the way to do it is to slap tariffs on steel and aluminum coming into the United States. A lot of people disagree about that, and we will talk about all the various issues, what's going to happen to the economy, what's going to happen to the markets, and are we really going to get all of these tariffs? I should mention that we're taping this on Tuesday afternoon. This is a hugely fluid situation with different members of the administration saying different things to different people. So a caveat that things could change as we move forward, but everything is up to date as of Tuesday afternoon. Okay, so now on to your questions. My producer, Micaela Rodriguez, is joining me from Politico World Headquarters in Virginia to help me here. She's going to read some of your questions, maybe ask a few of her own, and then I'll do my best to answer them. So, hello, Micaela.
Hey, Ben.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, although I must say this is a difficult, complex, confusing story with huge global ramifications. So it was helpful to get all these questions for me to start to think about this thing and how it's going to impact the U.S. and the world. So thanks so much to listeners for your questions on email and on Twitter, and we're going to try to get to a few of them, see if we can make some sense of them. So I'll turn it over to you, Micaela, for our first question.
All right. So I want to start big picture. So Twitter user Marsh Ray, that's at Marsh Ray, wants to know what industry groups support this policy.
Okay, so the beginning of the answer to that question is pretty obvious. Big steel and big aluminum really like this policy. So obviously their trade groups like it and have been lobbying for it. And then there are companies within that sector that really like it. That's like Nucor, U.S. Steel, United Aluminum. All the big steel and aluminum producers in the United States are in favor of this policy. And shocker that they would be. This is the United States government putting tax is another word for tariff, on their competitors. So Canada, Mexico, China, others that send steel and aluminum into the United States would face this big 25% tariff or 10% tariff. That would make products for U.S. steel and aluminum producers cheaper, and they would be able to produce more and not have to worry so much about the cheap products coming in from overseas. So obviously, big steel loves it. Big aluminum loves it. And then within the administration, there are people who love it too. As we mentioned in the open, Peter Navarro loves it. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross loves it. They've kind of risen within the White House power structure to take the lead on this. And they've spent a lot of time in their careers arguing that this is a good way to do policy, that if you want to save the steel and aluminum industry in the U.S., you've got to put tariffs on imported products so that it can be more competitive for our U.S. producers. So they're all very supportive of it. And then obviously there are a bunch of opponents. But that's the universe of people who really like this. Big steel, big aluminum, protectionist people within the White House. Those are the people who are cheering today.
Okay, and what about steelworker unions? Has there been any reaction from them?
Yeah, the steelworker unions like it, no question about it. They've advocated for it. They advocated for it in the past. We had a similar set of tariffs like this back in 2002 under President George W. Bush, had also been pushed for by the steelworker unions and the steel companies because they think it will protect their jobs. And in some cases, they're probably right. We've seen fewer and fewer workers in the steel and aluminum industry in the United States over recent decades. A lot of people would argue that that's a result of automation and of great advances in the ability to produce steel and aluminum with fewer workers. But one part of it is that there is this global supply of steel and aluminum. There's a lot of it. It can be sold relatively cheaply. And if prices are going down, steel and aluminum companies need fewer workers. They are not making as big profits, so they can't hire as many people. And we've seen a lot of lost jobs, particularly in the Midwest, in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Part of the whole reason Donald Trump won the White House is he connected with those people who've seen some of these high-paying steel and aluminum mill jobs go away. So the unions like it. They think this is the answer that will stop the reduction in jobs in the steel and aluminum industry. So they've been cheering for it. I'm not sure that long-term they're going to be right, that these tariffs will lead to a whole bunch of new jobs or save jobs in the industry, but they're definitely in favor of it.
Okay, and who else are we looking at?
Okay, so the other people who like it are policy people who are in favor of protectionism. And that is a economic philosophy that says in order to protect U.S. industry, we have to block or put a tax on goods coming in from overseas. So the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer is also generally in favor of tariffs and is more protectionist, certainly, than previous U.S. trade reps that we've had. But his position is a little complicated on this by the fact that he's right now trying to work out a new NAFTA agreement. That's the North America Free Trade Agreement. He's trying to come up with a new version of that with Mexico and Canada that'll be more beneficial to the United States. Will allow President Trump to say, hey, look, I renegotiated NAFTA, we got a better deal. But these proposed tariffs are driving the Canadians and the Mexicans crazy. They both export steel to the United States. Canada, in particular, is our biggest exporter into the United States of steel and aluminum. And they're saying, look, we can't in good faith negotiate NAFTA with you if you've got a gun to our head with these tariffs. So he's a little bit worried about these tariffs throwing off his NAFTA renegotiation. It's a process that's ongoing. They just finished some meetings in Mexico. It's not going well. It's basically stuck. They've got a long way to go to renegotiate that agreement. So you've got Lighthizer, who is kind of in the middle on this thing, but then you've got all of the Make America Great Again types, the nationalists in the White House who have been advocating for this for a long time, finally sees the upper hand. They've made the case to Trump and he's embraced it, that this will be good for him both economically and politically. Politically, it'll be good because people in Pennsylvania will like it. We've got a special election coming up in the House there. That plays into this, that they think announcing steel tariffs will help their candidate. But more broadly, Trump went to steel country during the campaign repeatedly and said, I'm going to save steel jobs. I'm going to save aluminum jobs. I'm going to get these factories that are hollowed out and in disrepair humming again, making more steel and aluminum. There's a whole universe of people who thinks this is a ridiculous fantasy, that none of that is ever going to happen. We've got experience with tariffs in the past doing this sort of thing. They haven't created a whole bunch of new jobs. But that's his idea. Trump's idea is got to save big steel. This is America. This is what I'm going to do. And he's got a cadre of people in the White House who are absolutely cheering and egging him on. All right, Mikaela, what else do we have in the question bag here?
All right, so we got a bunch of questions about the rules and laws and how this could actually happen. So Twitter user Stephen W. Hudson, that's at Stephen W. Hudson 1, says, so Trump says he wants tariffs. What actual concrete steps must he take to accomplish them? What role, if any, does Congress play? And what role does the WTO play?
All right, Stephen, these are excellent questions, and I thank you for them. It gets a little bit weedy and complicated, but we'll try to keep it simple. So what needs to happen? What's happening now within the White House is Trump made this announcement last Thursday, very broad, without any specifics or details. 25% steel, 10% aluminum. That's what I want to have happen. But it's not as easy as that. You need to get lawyers together in the White House counsel's office. You need lawyers from the USTR and Commerce all to come together on documents to implement these tariffs. Exactly which countries do they apply to? Are there exemptions for U.S. industries that really rely on imported steel and aluminum and can't get what they need from domestic suppliers? So there's always a bunch of chapters and titles and specifics in these agreements. That's why it's taking a while to come up with an actual policy. Trump announced it last Thursday without any paper, without anything done, which has led to the chaos we've seen since then. And it's allowed people like Gary Cohn to try to get in there and manipulate the process a little bit and change it so it's less potentially damaging to the global economy. All right, so that process is going on now as the lawyers draft paperwork. Now, the next question he asked was, what role does Congress play? Well, it used to play a really big role. Congress, under the Constitution, was given the authority to place tariffs on imports to the United States. And this is, you know, kind of going back into the Hamilton history book and the early days of the Republic. But this is how we made our money to start with. We didn't have an income tax. We didn't have sales taxes, all the other things that we have today that fund our government. So we instituted tariffs on imported goods. And that's how we funded ourselves. And Congress clearly delegated that authority to itself. Over the years, Congress has, through a series of laws, ceded that authority to the executive branch, to the president. Most recently in 1974, but there are previous laws that came out of Congress that give the president authority to invoke tariffs, to place tariffs on imported goods to the United States if they are a matter of national security. And this is where it gets really contentious and has potentially bigger ramifications. What the Commerce Department said a couple of weeks back was all of the imports of steel and aluminum and the impact they have on the domestic industry put U.S. national security at risk. And what they meant by that was if we have a steel and aluminum industry that's fading and not producing as much and not in as good health, there could come a time when we're at war and we need to produce a lot of aluminum and steel for tanks and guns and planes, and we won't have enough of it. So they said on national security grounds, the president should implement these tariffs. And he has that power now. Now, what Congress could theoretically do is take that power back. They could pass new laws saying the president no longer has this authority. We're taking it back for Congress. Only we can impose these kind of sweeping tariffs on products coming into the United States. I don't think they're likely to do that. To do that would require probably an override of a Trump veto. So you'd need 2/3 vote in Congress. And this is a Republican Congress that hasn't shown itself particularly willing to buck this president. So that's probably not going to happen. What's happening instead is you see people like House Speaker Paul Ryan coming out very vocally and saying, these tariffs are a terrible idea. We don't like them. We don't want you to do them because they're going to be bad for lots of other domestic industries that rely on steel and aluminum. They're going to undermine the power of our giant tax cut that's got the economy, they think, moving a little bit faster. So they don't want protectionism. Generally, the Republican Party is a pro-free trade party. Trump has flipped that on its head a little bit, but most of the Republicans on Capitol Hill still believe that free trade is generally good for the United States and the globe, and a rising tide lifts all boats. So what Congress is doing now is trying to use the bully pulpit a little bit to put pressure on Trump. But frankly, they can't stop him in the near term, and they probably won't stop him in the longer term with taking away this kind of power.
Okay, so Stephen also asked what role the WTO plays in all of this.
So, right, Stephen, the WTO. The bigger question about the WTO, which was set up to kind of be this overarching body to negotiate trade and make sure its members are trading fairly with each other, is that other countries will say, oh, hey, look, we can get around the WTO as well, and we can protect our domestic industries by slapping on tariffs. All we have to say is that national security is at risk, so we're going to protect our domestic producers of soybeans and sorghum and whatever else on national security grounds. So it's a Pandora's box question here for the WTO. Has Will the United States, in imposing these tariffs, if indeed we go through with them fully, will we open this Pandora's box where all of our trading partners say, okay, we're going to do this to national security threat, we're going to protectionism, and that could lead us into like mercantilist wars of the 19th century where everybody is protectionist, everybody is blocking imports into their country, and that would be a disaster for the global economy. Coming up, beer cans, but first, a quick break.
And now a word from our sponsor, a message from Morgan Stanley. As technology continues to advance, how we deliver education across the globe may transform as well. How will more access to education open doors for economic opportunity? As more investors look for these types of inclusive growth and sustainable investing opportunities, will sustainable investing just become investing? Hear the full podcast at morganstanley.com/economicengine. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, and Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, members SIPC.
All right, this is fun. I'm enjoying this. What else we got?
Okay, so we've got a couple questions about what's next. David Beffert, that's at @dbeffert, puts it really simply. Has the trade war really begun, or can it be contained?
Yeah, you know, I think about this sort of like, you know, we're in the Star Wars prequels episodes now, like we're in the Phantom Menace. Are we going to go on to the, you know, the trade wars and the Clone Wars? And I don't really know the answer to that. Nobody knows the answer of whether we're about to enter a global trade war. I think the answer is, you know, probably not. I think that the White House will find a way between now and whatever they do announce to carve out some exemptions, perhaps make things a little bit easier for our closest allies, particularly, you know, Canada and Mexico, maybe something for Europe. I don't know how we get from here to there, but I think they've seen the negative reaction in the markets. They've seen Capitol Hill Republicans be completely up in arms about this. They've seen the EU, Canada, China all threaten retaliation. And that has to have some kind of impact on the president and the White House. And I think you've seen in recent days just a little bit of wiggling and a little bit of walk back of some of this. Trump has said in recent days that, well, maybe if we get a better NAFTA deal with Canada and Mexico, that they'll be exempted. Now, that's pretty complicated because we're nowhere near getting a NAFTA deal. But you see in that his understanding, his desire not to spark this giant global trade war. So somehow he needs to be able to, you know, maintain the policy in its broadest outlines that we're going to put some tariffs on imported steel and aluminum and help our steel and aluminum workers without kicking off this big trade war that could put the U.S. in recession, which could, you know, reduce our economic output greatly, could damage, you know, people who make your beers and your sodas and your cars and make everything cost more for consumers. They'll find a way for that not to happen. And that'll mean, okay, we're going to specifically put tariffs on these countries who we think are dumping steel and aluminum in the U.S. unfairly. Now, frankly, we've done that for years. The Obama administration did it. They did anti-dumping tariffs on China. They were more targeted specifically to bad actors and not simply trying to punish people who are selling stuff at market price. So there is a path to get there. There's a path to get from 25% across the board on steel and aluminum to a more targeted policy that wouldn't spark a global trade war. But getting from A to B is a little bit difficult. And that's why you see all of this internal fighting inside the White House going on right now. That's why you see cabinet secretaries like Steven Mnuchin going up to the Hill and sort of showing that they would like to dial it back a little bit, but they're not quite sure how to get there. So what's next is, I don't think we have a global trade war, but the possibility is there. If Trump just decides, forget it, I'm going full bore. I said 25 and 10, I want 25 and 10. We're going to do that. Then what would you see? You would see absolute retaliation from Europe. You would see retaliation from Canada. You would see retaliation from China. It would be harder for American companies to sell blue jeans, bourbon, for farm workers to sell soybeans and all the rest of the crops they like to sell to Europe and Asia, for them to do that. That means slower growth in the U.S. It means slower growth elsewhere, and it probably means global recession. So that possibility is out there. certainly. But I think the more likely scenario is, yes, we get tariffs in some capacity, but they're smaller, they're more targeted. Trump can say he did it, and at the same time, not have his the rest of his first term buffeted by a trade war and a collapsing economy, because I don't think he wants that. I mean, I could be wrong, maybe he does, but my guess is he doesn't want that.
So you mentioned beer a second ago, and we actually got a question about it. Alex Zanity at AZ in Denver asked, will tariffs on aluminum force craft brewers that produce beer solely in cans and kegs to increase retail pricing structures?
Alex in Denver, this is an excellent question. I'm sure lots of listeners enjoy their craft brews. And the answer to it is probably yes. They'll have to charge a little bit more per can of craft beer because they rely on, you know, buying aluminum for these cans. And, you know, not to digress into a riff on the craft beer industry, but, you know, there's a reason they use aluminum rather than glass. It's better. The beer travels better. It doesn't get as messed up by light coming in the bottle. So anyway, probably more than you need to know about craft beers, but they do rely on aluminum. They buy a lot of aluminum from Canada and elsewhere at relatively cheap prices, and they put their beer in it and they sell it to consumers. Now, if we have tariffs of 10% on imported aluminum, their costs are going to go up. It's going to be harder for them to make a profit on what they sell. And craft beer makers are not generally giant conglomerates. Sometimes they're part of bigger conglomerates, but they have small profit margins. So when they sell this aluminum can of beer that costs them more, they're going to have to charge a couple pennies more per can. So you might not necessarily notice it when you go to your local beer maker or brew pub or wherever you go and buy your craft beer. You're not going to notice a huge increase in the price, but you'll notice it by a few cents probably. And then across the whole economy, that adds up to a lot of money. That's why Republicans complain about this being basically a tax on the American consumer. And it's not just craft beers. It's planes, trains, automobiles. Not that people buy planes and trains, but you ride on them. So your ticket prices can go up. And you certainly buy cars. And so your prices will go up a little. And overall, at the end of the month, when you're totaling up all the stuff you spent money on, you'll see a little bit more having gone to stuff that has steel and aluminum in it. And across the whole economy, that's hundreds of billions of dollars that are being spent by consumers on this stuff. So sort of a long and meandering way to say to Alex in Denver that yes, the cost of craft beer sold in aluminum cans would go up if this tariff went into place. All right, I think that does it for now. That's a bunch of really great questions. I really enjoyed answering them. I hope we can do this session again where you send me your stuff and I try to answer it. Michaela, thank you so much for joining us and posing these good questions to me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Politico Money is produced by Bridget Mulcahy and Michaela, who really did the heavy lifting this week. Dave Shaw is our executive producer. And if you like the show, and of course you like the show, give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. A user named Grayzable left us a review the other day. Great guest, great host, 5 stars. Thank you, Grayzable. Everybody, be like Grayzable and leave us a review. If you do, maybe I'll give you a shout out. And hey, listen, even if you give me a little criticism, constructive criticism, I can take it. I've read some of it. I try to incorporate it into the show. So we love 5 stars and raves, but if you got a good idea for us doing something differently, by all means, let us know. And if you got a question about Washington, Wall Street, Aaron Judge, the upcoming Yankee season, or anything else, get me on email on bwhite@politico.com or on Twitter @MorningMoneyBen. I'll do my best to answer them on an upcoming show. Thanks, and I'll talk to you next week.